Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. We're at the Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility Spring Conference, and I'm talking with two of the leaders of a workshop, and this one is all about second chances. I'm joined by Mickey Wiles. He is the CEO and founder of Working Fields, which is a mission-driven hiring firm that focuses on second chance hiring. And we're also joined by Teresa Snow. She is the executive director and founder of Salvation Farms, which, she'll explain exactly what that is. It has a longer mission. So, Teresa, explain what Salvation Farms does.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on. Salvation Farms works to manage farm surplus produce primarily and get that out to Vermonters who lack access. So we do this through activities like gleaning and minimal processing, and then we move that product to places like food shelves or institutional kitchens like a correctional facility.
And for those who don't know what gleaning is?
Gleaning traditionally means reaping after the harvest. It was typically done by the poor and traveler, and in modern times it tends to be facilitated by an organization that coordinates volunteers, goes to farms, harvests what they are not picking, and then moves that to the charitable food systems in their community or food sites in their community.
You also work with workers who have, as you say, have barriers to employment. Explain what that means.
Yeah, that's correct. So one of our programs that we run in Winooski, it's a surplus crop food hub. We aggregate large volumes of unmarketable produce. We engage individuals with barriers to employment and workforce development training there. And those individuals come to our program possibly with histories of incarceration, substance addiction, homelessness. They may be single parents. They may have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities. And with us, they work for 16 weeks straight and help us manage these crops that then go out and feed their community.
What are some of the challenges or rewards that you get from working with this community of people?
I think there are rewards every day. I think this work, people have ahas about the food system every day. This population, through the opportunity to engage in something as essential as food, and then provide such a valuable service as feeding their neighbors, as well as building their own ability to find stable employment and make a better life for themselves or their families. I think all of those are great successes, and I think the challenges are also folded right into that, where everything we do, whether it's handling the surplus food and the logistics of moving this food around and how we grade product that the market doesn't want, and how do you teach this to people that may not have had any exposure to agriculture or that may not want to come to work every day or maybe having personal life challenges. Like, every day we're overcoming just challenges. And I think that's some of addressing opportunities in a solution-based way. You know, making change is not easy.
So. Let's bring in Mickey Wiles. He's CEO and founder of Working Fields, which is a second-chance hiring firm in South Burlington. Mickey, explain what second-chance hiring is.
Second-chance people are individuals who are either coming out of incarceration, or they may have a criminal record that they actually didn't serve any jail time for, but the record is causing barriers to employment. Or it could be a person in recovery from substance use addiction that has a spotty history on their with jobs, haven't held a job for a long time, or have bounced around from jobs, and thus has become a barrier to employment. Or it could be a combination of any of the above. Many times, individuals who are have some sort of criminal conviction record also have a substance use addiction problem.
What led you to want to work with this population of people? This is not the easiest kind of employment agency.
Well, the number one driving factor is I'm a person in long-term recovery and a second chance person. And so I've lived the experience firsthand. I then had success in my own experience in being able to work my way back into the workforce and restore my life through a program of recovery. And I've then had the opportunity to work in various areas of substance use recovery areas, as well as working in corporate businesses where I've actually brought in second chance people and seen the model work. So I'm greatly motivated by providing opportunities to individuals that face these employment barriers. And I know that that their success is going to be, they're going to have much more success with a strong supportive program like our program.
Are you comfortable sharing what your story was that led you to need a second chance?
Sure. I was a person who suffered from about 20 years of substance use addiction, finally got to the point where I needed to go to treatment. I really had no other choice because I couldn't go on with the life that I was living. And at the same time, I had been successful in a business career. Once I entered recovery, my life got better. And over time, I started drifting away from the things that were helping me in recovery. And although I never relapsed, I did make some bad choices in life. And in one of the roles that I had working for a Vermont business, I ended up getting into an embezzlement situation, which landed me in federal prison for a couple of years. And that experience was certainly eye-awakening. I recognized once I my life started falling apart that I needed to return to a life of recovery and working on all of the underlying issues. Substance use addiction is a symptom. There's underlying issues as to why we choose to use those substances. And I really needed to face and address those. And having the ability to turn my life around through the help of all of the support programs that are out there, I was able to do that. And since then, I've gone on and have had success in my life, which is largely measured by my ability to be contributing to society again as a useful person.
Who gave you the second chance?
The second chance that I got was predominantly given to me by people that knew me and had known me before and believed in me as a person. And because they believed in me and my intentions were good, my intentions were to be a good person, to turn my life around, that they gave me chances in their businesses. And some of them were not any glamorous job. However, it was a start. And from there, I was able to build and cascade upon that. Each step was somebody else believing in me.
What kind of workers and job placements does Working Fields do?
We cover a wide spectrum. Anything from manufacturing jobs, such as with companies like Rhino and Twin Craft and Lane Press. We have a lot of people that start off who don't have much skills working at the recycling center for Casella. Casella is a great partner of ours. We have opportunities in working in some small businesses, such as auto mechanics and body shops. We have some people doing some cooking at Archie's down in Shelburne. So we have a wide range of different options and possibilities for people to move into. Some that are people come to us are completely unskilled, and others have some skills that they've had developed over the years, sometimes prior to their addiction.
Teresa Snow from Salvation Farms, what do you observe that working on the farm means to the people to whom you've given a second chance?
Well, just to clarify, so we don't do farm work necessarily. We work in a warehouse setting that I like to say is a bit of a glorified farm wash pack house. Most farms would really love to have the space we have. So in this space, we do opportunities do we see for the individuals in this space?
Or? Well, just what it has meant. Are you aware of any of the stories of some of the second chance hires that you've done, you know, what it's meant to them to have this job?
Yeah, I can think of three individuals in particular that have had histories of incarceration, primarily with violent crimes, where they couldn't really get in the door anywhere. And we didn't want to create additional barriers in our program. We wanted this to be a place where we could foster a relationship of trust and accountability and a sense of working together, doing together. I have found in my life with approaching people on a level playing field, no matter what our pasts are, people usually rise to the occasion and honor that expectation of we're here to do this job and let's, you know, work together. So I think for some of these individuals, they were surprised by the courage of another to open the door to them, even though so many of the doors have closed for them because of their past. They've had employment that lets them go 2 weeks after they're hired because the background check was done, and we don't do background checks. We ask them what their history is. We have a conversation about that with them, and if they are serious about committing to our program, we're serious about committing to them. And we find that the work that Salvation Farms does through our training programs, it really does test whether this person is ready and willing to have full-time employment. They won't make it past week 3 or 4 with us. And if they make it to week 16, we can pretty much guarantee that they're ready for work and they're going to be a stable and good employee. And all they want is that chance.
Okay, well, Teresa Snow from Salvation Farms and Mickey Wiles from Working Fields, I want to thank you both for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation. We continue now with our conversation with some of the panelists at the VBSR Spring Conference. We're now joined by Michael Sear. He's the marketing director at Skinny Pancake, which is a Vermont-based group of restaurants, and also Kate Williams. She is the CEO of 1% for the Planet, a global network of companies that focused on giving back. You both are a part of a panel called Giving and Purpose. Kate Williams, why should companies want to give back? What's it do for them?
I think there are a bunch of reasons. The primary reasons that I would say are, one, it's a way to connect to the local community in a really meaningful and tangible way. And so forming a giving relationship with a nonprofit locally or regionally or, you know, whatever sort of is the fit is a great way to sort of build and share the story of those connections. And then that share the story piece, I would say, is the other sort of primary value, is that through a giving partnership, you have a great story to tell, and it's a very authentic story because you're giving real dollars and making a real difference, and you can align your business with that story.
Do companies who are involved in a lot of charitable giving typically make it known what they give to?
I think it varies. Certainly the companies in the 1% for the Planet network choose to, and that's part of why they choose to become a 1% for the Planet member, is that they want to tell that story and they want to work with a network of people who are figuring out how to do that, because it sometimes can be hard to tell a good story and to figure out how to align that story with your product or your service. And that's one of the things that we work with our members on, is figuring out how do you position that story to support the brand story that you're telling? How do you, you know, make sure that it fits and make sure that it's an authentic story for you?
What is, when we say 1% for the Planet, how's that work?
The companies, and we also now have individuals who are members of 1% for the Planet, and they're giving 1% of their top line revenues in the case of companies, and then salary in the case of individuals. So top line sales, not profits, sales, and they're giving it back to nonprofits that have been vetted through our system.
What are some of the companies who have signed on to 1% for the Planet?
We have a number of Vermont companies like Skinny Pancake, King Arthur Flour are two of our great Vermont companies. And then we were founded by Patagonia, the clothing company. So that's a big and well-known one. And then we have 1,500 companies globally. So we have architects, we have lawyers, we have New Belgium Beer. So there's just a broad range of companies who belong.
And is this the headquarters of 1% of the Planet that is here in Vermont that you're the head of?
Yep, the international headquarters of 1% of the Planet is based in Burlington.
So Patagonia's in California. How did it happen that their headquarters is here in Vermont?
That's a good question. When the first CEO out of Patagonia or beyond the sort of reach of Patagonia was hired, 1% for the Planet essentially consisted of a box of files. And so those files were shipped to the CEO, then CEO, who lived in Massachusetts and then moved to Vermont. And then we've grown here. And now, you know, we feel like we couldn't have picked a better place. Just the state is so aligned with the values of 1% for the Planet. So we're able to hire great staff and, you know, really tell a great story to the world.
Michael Sear, Skinny Pancake, how does charitable giving factor into the work that you do, and why do you do it?
Well, it sort of began with we wanted to source locally, source a lot of our food locally and be a, sort of a member of the functioning community. And for better or worse, the best way to sort of improve that community is through charitable giving and using business as a force for good. So right after Hurricane Irene, we were sort of motivated by getting involved more and committing ourselves to some greater purpose. And 1% came along and told us about what they do. And what's really great about it is that we've sort of always had the intention to do a lot of charitable giving. And what's great about 1% is it turns that intention into a firm commitment where we sort of have to meet this 1% goal. And at the end of every fiscal year, they'll come calling and make sure we have the paperwork to back all that up.
Now, I know you do some direct, you have, I'm on the board of a nonprofit which participated in one of your evenings where you give proceeds, some of the proceeds to nonprofits. Explain what that program is.
So when a lot of other, we function as an event space for a lot of the stuff we do at a couple of our locations. And what a lot of event spaces do, they spend their dollars to promote the event through advertising, print advertising, radio advertising, digital. We've sort of turned our charitable giving into a marketing plan where instead of spending money on traditional advertising, we'll invite a nonprofit to come in and we'll give them the money we would have spent on advertising to help rally their crowd and bring people out.
So for folks who are listening, who are part of a worthy organization, how do they do this and how often and is this opportunity available at Skinny Pancake?
We tend to have a culture of saying yes for most worthy causes. It always depends what the question is. And we do direct a lot of our giving to environmental organizations. That's mostly just hitting me up and seeing if we can figure out a way to collaborate together, because collaboration is really the name of the game in this state. Because we focus 1% of our revenue towards environmental nonprofits, unfortunately, we do have to say notice some bigger asks from non-environmental nonprofits. Not to say that they're not worthy, but Kate can answer this question, but I think only something like 3% of corporate giving is to environmental causes. So unfortunately, you know, that leaves 97% of the money that isn't going to environmental nonprofits. So some other organizations can give to those. We happen to choose to funnel a lot of our giving to environmental nonprofits.
Kate, let me get you to follow up on that. What is the breakdown of where does charitable money traditionally go?
Yeah, that 3% number is one that we really focus on. So it's actually 3% of total philanthropy in the U.S. goes to the environment. And that's it. And it's been stuck there for about 10 years. And, you know, total philanthropy has grown, so the dollars have grown a little bit, but that percentage. So most of the money, most charitable giving goes to religious institutions and education. And we talk to our donors a lot. Like, why is it that you give, or why do you think other people don't give? We talk to people who have not given to the environment and now give to the environment. And I think sometimes people feel overwhelmed. They don't know how to address climate change. They don't know what it means to give in a way that would address that big problem, just to use one example. So one of the things that we work on with our companies, and Skinny Pancakes is a great pancake is a great example, is we really try to, you know, kind of break it down and say, okay, one of the things you can do is think about the food that ends up on your plate, and that's how you can make a difference. And the nonprofit can be a solution for that at the restaurant as just one sort of small but big example, because that's how we make change, is when we can sort of see where we're making a difference.
How much has 1% for the planet generated for these nonprofits?
We've been in existence since 2002, and over that period of time, our network has given $175 million for environmental nonprofits, which sounds like a big number, and we're so psyched about that, and it is awesome, and it's not enough. So our work is always focused on, like, how can we engage more people to give their 1%? Because that's one of the things that we believe and why we started an individual program as well, is, you know, everyone has a 1%. It's sort of the democratization of giving, and, you know, my 1% might be really small, but it's still my 1%, and it puts me in the same category as Patagonia, who's giving their 1%. And I think that's a really powerful opportunity for us, and that's the movement that we're building.
We're talking with Kate Williams. She's the executive director of 1% for the Planet, and Michael Sear, the marketing director at Skinny Pancake, about charitable giving by businesses, why they do it, how they can do it. Kate, can you? Is there a program that you know that's been funded by 1% of the Planet that you can sort of highlight as what this money does?
Yeah, sure. So, keeping it local and Skinny Pancake, I mean, the Intervale is, you know, a great nonprofit right here in Burlington, and they're a really good example, because not only are they a recipient of 1% for the Planet funds, but they're also a place where our staff, and I know other companies, have also done volunteer time, volunteer projects. So volunteer time can count towards the 1%, because that's a real value also. So the Intervale is a place where kind of both of those ways of giving have played out. We have about, you know, probably 2,000 nonprofits in our network all over the world. So, you know, if you think about the Intervale and then multiply it by 2,000 and think of the, you know, volunteer time, the partnerships, you know, there are, you know, a lot of great things happening all over the planet.
Michael Sear, what would you say to other business people who might be listening about why give?
Well, I think for a lot of Vermont businesses, they're probably already giving, and I think it makes sense to sort of streamline your giving and how you give, which again is why the commitment to 1% is valuable. For us, we all know why people choose to live in Vermont and why they choose to shop places, and I think the Vermont consumer is interested in a business that cares, and I think it makes for good marketing.
Have you gotten feedback at Skinny Pancake about just the impact of what you do and any feedback from your charitable work?
Yeah, and for the most part, it is positive. You know, I think when you're talking about environmental issues, occasionally you can raise some hairs on individuals that do not agree with where your principles are aligned. But the feedback is overwhelmingly positive, and you know, I would put the term on it as goodwill marketing. You know, somebody can see an ad and maybe a week later they'll think to connect that ad to going to frequent your business. But if there's some direct giving, you just mentioned a board you were on that we supported, I think that tends to sit better with individuals.
Okay, well, Michael Sear from Skinny Pancake and Kate Williams from 1% for the Planet, thanks so much for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.